Did you know that every year the table saws you find in woodworking shops and many homes are responsible for some 32,000 serious injuries, including over 4,000 finger amputations? In her work as an industrial hygienist, Monona Russell came across a remarkable story of an innovative saw that stops instantly when it contacts flesh, thus preventing most of those injuries. But power tool companies have resisted the change for many years, and it's only now becoming accepted as an industry standard. I'm pleased to welcome Monona, the founder and president of Arts, Crafts, and Theater Safety Incorporated, back to our show, along with Steve Gass, the inventor of SawStop, who joins us from Oregon. Welcome.
Yes. Hello.
Thank you.
Now, Monona, when you visit us, it's usually to educate us about the dangers of household chemicals and other toxic substances. How did you come across this story?
Well, I also consult for a lot of universities. In fact, I'm just back from Dubai and Abu Dhabi for Zayed University, and every school has power tools. There isn't a school that I have ever seen that hasn't got a shop somewhere, even if it's in the maintenance department. So, of course, I see a lot of table saws, and I see a lot of accidents.
Steve, tell us about SawStop and how it works. How's it possible to make a saw that detects contact from flesh?
Well, in a lot of ways, it's a fairly simple technology. The blade becomes a touch sensor, a lot like a touch lamp that you might turn on and off by touching it. We electrically isolate it, put a small signal on the blade, and when you contact it, the system is able to detect that. And then there's a very high-speed break that's basically a chunk of aluminum that gets shoved right into the teeth of the saw blade, and that stops it in just a few thousandths of a second, a little like your airbag deploying, only about 10 times faster.
So do we get a scratch or nothing at all?
Well, typically you get a scratch would be a fairly typical injury because it doesn't actually start to stop until you've contacted the blade. So you actually have to be in electrical contact or touching the saw blade, the teeth of the saw blade, for the system to react.
And it doesn't have to be human flesh? There's a video on your website that demonstrates how it works using a hot dog.
Yeah, we find that we get a lot more volunteer hot dogs, or at least not objecting victims, let's say. So the hot dog is our standard subject for demonstrating the system.
Weren't you a patent lawyer with a doctorate in physics? How did you come to invent this thing?
Yeah, well, at the time, I was also a hobby woodworker. I've done woodworking my whole life, and I was just out in my shop one time, and I kind of looked over at my saw, and I kind of describe it as serendipity. The idea basically just came to me. I wonder if you couldn't stop that blade fast enough, if you ran your hand into it, that you wouldn't get a serious injury. And about a month later, I had a prototype working.
And had you had any accidents with the table saw or anybody you knew?
I had had friends that had accidents. I remember one that I ran into, and he had three wires sticking out of the end of three of his fingers, and a little cotton ball in the end of each one, and he'd had his fingers reattached after removing them with a table saw. And I've had accidents on other kinds of equipment doing woodworking, and so I was certainly familiar with the risk, and everybody, I think, kind of knows just how dangerous table saws are, at least in a general sense, although most people aren't aware of the specifics of the huge numbers of accidents that happen.
Monona, the Journal of Trauma reported that between 1990 and 2007, emergency rooms in the United States treated more than 565,000 injuries caused by table saws. So is this the most dangerous tool in a woodshop?
Well, it probably isn't the most dangerous, but it is the most ubiquitous because there are so many of them. If I'm ordering for a school the various materials that they need, for instance, in a building planning, that's the first thing on the list. There's no shop without a table saw.
But is the problem that most people aren't properly trained in their use, or that people take the guards that they come with off for some silly reason?
Well, it's not a silly reason. The judge in the last case that we'll probably talk about if we get time declared
we'll
that they are ineffective and they are defective as they stand. The first thing every woodworker does is take the guard off the saw. There are a lot of things you can't do with that guard. It's in the way. I've been fighting and fighting for years to get people to keep the guards on. I now have capitulated. I've given up.
Steve, how did you go about building the first prototype of SawStop?
Well, fortunately, having a PhD in physics, I knew something about electronics and mechanical systems, and being kind of a tinkerer by nature, I had stuff in my shop that I basically put together. I used the nose gear from a radio control airplane for the spring, little piece of oak wood for the brake on the first one, just a very simple little pieces, capacitors from a power supply. It's basically Radio Shack kind of components.
And then when you realized that it worked, of course, you brought it to some of the manufacturers, I assume.
Yeah, that was my
look what I've done.
Exactly. I thought, this is amazing. This is great. You know, as a woodworker, man, I would sure love to have one of these on my saw. And so I contacted Delta, who was the manufacturer of the table saw in my shop, and I thought of them as the leading manufacturer of table saws. And they were initially interested and looked at it, and then told me that safety doesn't sell, so they weren't going to go forward.
Well, Popular Science named it one of the 100 best new innovations. The Consumer Product Safety Commission awarded it the chairman's commendation. So why would they say safety doesn't sell? Is it really just a matter of money, that it would cost more?
I think it's a matter of whose money is really the question, and the power tool companies don't pay for the injuries. And so they really aren't interested in spending money to eliminate the injuries, sadly. It's just an economic disconnect that happens in the market.
Well, how much does this device add to the cost of a table saw?
Well, we estimate that if it was widely used, it would add approximately $100 to the price of the average table saw.
Which is a lot less costly than losing a finger.
Substantially less. In fact, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, who tracks these injuries, has estimated that the cost of these injuries is about $2.36 billion a year just for injuries on table saws. And the total market for table saws is only a couple hundred million. So the products are doing something like 10 times their purchase price in economic harm.
So perhaps doctors are the people who gain the most from the fact that we don't have these safety devices.
That's right. We employ quite a number of hand surgeons, I think, to treat these injuries.
You wanted to add something to that, Manon?
Yes, because the saw companies were telling him the truth. Safety doesn't sell. Not only that, it makes people angry. I cannot tell you the vituperous nature of the comments that I get especially when I first went and started to suggest this item. And I also subscribe to Woodshop News, which is the, you know, ordinary publication for woodworkers. And they think that government is trying to ruin their lives, get into their business, tell them what to do. It's vituperous answers.
Well, this has become a political thing. We've been hearing just this sort of argument on the campaign trail. But is anybody suggesting that we stop having seat belts and airbags? I remember there was resistance to seat belts when they were first instituted. Now everybody buckles up.
Well, yes, but
except the former governor of New Jersey.
The patent for seat belts was issued in 1885. It took 84 years to get a U.S. standard. So, I mean, this is a really long time. People resist any kind of change, especially when it has to do with safety, and they use the same exact reason. If I have this device on my saw, people won't be careful. I've never heard such a ridiculous argument. It's like saying, I'm going to drive recklessly now that I have seat belts and airbags.
My guests are Manona Russell, the founder and president of Arts, Crafts, and Theater Safety Incorporated, and Steve Gass, the inventor of SawStop. And we have, by the way, a link to the video of the hot dog demonstration on our show page at WNYC.org. So, Steve, you and your partners decided to set up your own company to manufacture table saws?
That's right. Originally, we thought we would license the technology to existing manufacturers, and they would put it out. But when they all refused, we thought, well, you know, this is too important a thing to let die. And so we raised some money and built our own table saws, which has been quite an adventure since we knew nothing about building table saws when we started this little adventure.
I'm assuming that your saws are more expensive than the competition. Have potential buyers complained?
No, you know, it's interesting how little the price has been a factor. And in fact, actually, the most recent saw that we released is a few hundred dollars cheaper than some of its closest competitors. The price on these saws is really driven by the features and size of the saw itself, rather than the cost of this technology. At least especially on the industrial side, which is where we're currently selling products, the cost of the technology is essentially insignificant in the overall price of the product.
Since you've introduced it, have other table saw makers adopted the device?
No, in fact, to the contrary, they all got together and formed a consortium to try and ensure that the technology didn't get out, to make sure that, as they described it in the trial, they all stayed on the same page, and they got together and voted about how to respond to SawStop.
Well, both of you have referred to the trial, so Manona, tell us about this trial that involves Ryobi, a manufacturer of table saws. What happened, and what was the ultimate verdict?
Well, there was a young man who was from Colombia, didn't have any education or training, and he really seriously damaged his hand on a table saw. And the very smart lawyers who took his case not only decided to sue for his bills, but to sue, take on the various companies that make the saw, which was Ryobi in this case. And Ryobi had actually signed a contract with Steve Gass and then had pulled out after a few years.
For what reason, Steve? Just a matter of economics?
No. You know, interestingly, they signed the agreement and then there was a typo in it, and we asked if they wanted us to just initial it out and correct it, and they said, no, we'll re-sign it and send you a new one tomorrow. And we never got that, and months went by as we called and checked, and they kept saying the same story. Oh, no, we're going to get to it, just haven't. What we later found out at this trial was that was when they formed the agreement to work with the other manufacturers. I think that they just decided to go a different path by cooperating with their competitors to avoid adopting the technology instead of embracing it.
Now, we've been getting calls, and maybe we should talk to some of the consumers. Richard from Wisconsin, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I have a table saw, and I'm glad to say I've never had an accident with it, but I have friends who have a snowblower, and one of them is missing a few fingers. Anyway, I'm moving to a new house, and I plan to get rid of my table saw because I'll be close to my grandchildren. And I know no matter what safety precautions I take, it's a dangerous instrument, and I just don't want it in such proximity to the kids. So I, for one, potentially be a customer for a safer saw.
Good idea.
And that's an argument I would think that would work well for you, Steve. Even if you don't want to be safe, what about the kids in your house? This saw will protect their fingers as well.
That's right. And the kids, and interestingly, one of the best advocates for our saws are the wives who don't want their husbands injured doing this. And of course, we have husbands buying them to their wives on occasion, but most woodworkers are the male, so it works out more the other way.
Thank you for calling us, Richard.
Thank you.
Well, have there have been other court cases like the Ryobi case?
No, but 60 have been filed, and half of them are against Ryobi. So I think they're rethinking their position because the court case asked for something like $250,000, and the jury awarded them $1.5 million. And that verdict was upheld. So it's really got the attention of the community.
Let's take another call. Peter from Connecticut. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
So I got a question. I'm a retired surgeon, and I'm also a woodworker. And I've looked into these saws, and I think they're good. I've even used one at a friend's house. But I do think that the price point is quite expensive relative to what's on the market. That's my first question. And the second question is, have you ever thought about putting this technology into something like a router for a router table or a bandsaw?
Good.
Yeah, we've looked at both bandsaws and routers. We've done quite a bit of work on the bandsaw side. We don't have a commercial product yet, but we expect that we eventually will. We kind of have chosen our product development based on kind of where you see most of the injuries. So table saws turn out to be responsible for the lion's share of injuries in shops, so we're targeting that first. But ultimately, we will turn to all different kinds of woodworking equipment, probably bandsaws sooner than routers, but routers as well. there are some different challenges with each kind of equipment as to how you would stop the blade or react in the event of contact. But the basic concepts are applicable across the board.
Now, Peter, can I ask you a question because you are a doctor? If you're buying a car, would you just simply want the most stripped-down car because it costs less? Or would you want one that had airbags and rollover bars and things like that?
That's a great question. When I buy cars, safety first, because I used to treat people in the emergency room all the time. But that's a different priority. I'm in my car every day. I'm in my wood shop maybe once a month. And I've looked at these saws. I'd love to buy one. But I'd like the host to ask a very, you know, answer a very specific question. The premium on these is between, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but at least 25%. And I recognize that he's out to make money, and this is the system we live in. He should make money. On the other hand, doing a public service to people and having treated these types of injuries may consider, you know, making a more affordable model. I know he's got two models and one's a little more affordable. So, but
Steve, Steve, don't you think that you should take a loss for the greater good of the society?
Well, you know, fortunately, I don't think I'm presented with that choice. What's happening right now, I mean, we basically reinvest all of the profits that we make, or almost all of them, back into research and development. We have about a dozen engineers working here. That's, you know, about a third of our staff works on research and development to develop new saws. And, in fact, our next product will be a lower-cost saw. It'll actually be at about $1,000 or a little less, maybe. It'll be a job site saw. So what we're trying, we started out just from sort of a logistics standpoint as a company. We needed to start with a relatively low-volume product that we could sell through woodworking dealers and not kind of try and deal with Home Depot, because we just couldn't have handled that.
Yes, and as a doctor, I think you might be interested that the way in which the saw is built internally also collects more of the dust than a lot of the other saws, including a good portion of the dust from around the blade. So exposure to by inhalation and the allergies and things that we see with woodworkers also can be reduced.
Now, Minota, where does the Consumer Product Safety Commission stand on all of this? Do they have the power to mandate the use of this equipment on table saws made for home use?
The CPSC is standing where it always stands. I hope we don't have to do anything, because they would love to see the industry set a standard that included Steve's. That's their first priority, so they don't have to enforce, they don't have to make mandatory.
That's called the voluntary standard.
Yes.
They have three standards: voluntary, mandatory, and then there's also
there's
a labeling.
A label warning. And label warning, I'm sure they don't really want to go with. And mandatory, they don't want to do, because they haven't got the budget to enforce and make it true.
And
work.
Congress would go crazy.
Yes. You know, I mean, if you keep cutting the budget of agencies, don't be surprised when they don't want to do anything. So they're trying to find a way to make the industry do it for them.
But what about the table saws that are used in commercial woodworking shops, in furniture factories and the like? Aren't there, like, doesn't OSHA handle things of that sort?
That's going to be very difficult, because now you're in my territory completely. And the problem there is that workers' compensation is involved. And so the only way that that's going to happen is when the employers realize that they're going to save on their workers' comp costs for an extra $50, $100, $200 a saw. And they're buying the high-end stuff anyway, so there really is no reason for them not to buy them.
What about the schools that you deal with? Have they been switching over to Steve saws?
Surprisingly, well, it depends on the school. If after they've had an accident, you'd be surprised how quick they buy them. But we still have the board saying, well, we can't afford, you know, we just want a simple, you know, contractor saw or something that doesn't have it. But they should be getting him.
Stuart, hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Go ahead.
My question is this. I'm a supporter of the saw, and I'm in the process right now of buying one. But there's one issue that I think has not been discussed, and that is the cost of the brake and the cost of a new blade after this fires off. And
yes.
I'm wondering whether that becomes a negative in terms of the contractors.
Nobody ever really worries about paying that price, because the reason they're paying it is there could have been a serious accident.
Thank you.
Think,
go ahead, Steve.
One of the issues that what maybe Stuart is getting at is that you can have an activation for other reasons, because if conductive material comes in contact with the blade, so for instance, it's not uncommon for people to be measuring with a tape measure while the blade is still spinning, a metal tape measure. And if that approaches the blade and they get a little too close and it nicks the blade, that will trigger it. And so you do have some activations that happen for reasons other than a finger. Certainly in the case of a finger, nobody objects. But overall, what we find is that the cost of activations, it's just not very common to have them. And so it really is very rarely an issue for our users. It just doesn't happen commonly enough to be a major factor in the overall cost of ownership.
Ettore from Mamaroneck, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my phone call. I do have a table saw, and I took off the safety device, not because of disdain of safety, but just because it made the work more difficult. And I wonder if the new device doesn't make the same problem. I mean, it was sort of bulky, the safety device I had on myself.
Yeah, what did it prevent you from doing, Ettore?
Excuse me?
What did the safety device prevent you from being able to do?
Well, depending on the size of the wood, the position of the wood that was cutting, it was sort of on the way most of the time, so I took it off.
And sometimes it's even hard to see through it if it's plastic and it gets messy. And there's a lot of reasons those old guards don't work well.
And that doesn't happen with the saw we're discussing?
No, saw stop is a lot like your airbag in that it's essentially invisible to the user until you need it. And at that point, it sort of does its job. So if you walk up to a saw stop table saw, you can't tell the difference between it and any other table saw. And we sell them with the standard guards that everyone else has. But if you take the guard off, like most people do, the saws are essentially identical to use until you run your hand into the blade.
Yes, and thank you, Steve, for having great big words in red, yellow paint, saw stop. So as soon as I walk into the shop, I can tell.
We go now to Corey from Manhattan. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. The problem is, and I've been using a radial arm saw for 40 years, which is so dangerous that nobody even sells them anymore. But the fact is that, the people that are cutting fingers off, I'm sure there are some people with high-end saws that are cutting them off, but there are people that go into Home Depot and buy a table saw for $160, $100, $200, $250. And, and it's not a great saw, but it does what they want until it cuts their finger off. But, the thing is, if you bring this down to $1,000, sure, there are people, what you're talking about is like making a really safe Rolls-Royce, and a Rolls-Royce is a Rolls-Royce, or a really safe Mercedes S-Class, and yeah, it's a whole lot more car than a Toyota, but that's not where the market is. The market is with the really cheap stuff. And you're just way more expensive. And I would buy one. I think it's a great idea. I mean, on my radial arm saw, I use every guard. I wear a full face shield. I use push sticks. I do everything as far as safety. Knock wood, 40 years later, I still have all my fingers. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is, you got to deal with the people that are buying $200 saws.
Now, Steve, could you just manufacture an attachment that could be put onto one of these cheap saws? Would that be a way to go?
Unfortunately, it's not practical mechanically as a retrofit. You have to design it in because of the forces involved in stopping the blade that fast. And Corey's right, the majority of the market in terms of the numbers of both sales of saws and injuries is at the lowest end. But ultimately, where he's missing it a little bit is the technologies applicable to those saws. So the smallest saws will become more expensive. So a $150 saw will turn into a $250 saw.
Do your saws require special blades?
No, just any normal blade works with them.
Monona, are there other common tools out there that need safety features that we should be talking to some inventors about?
Well, this is I'm so glad to see that he's working on all the different saws. I had chop saws and radial arms, all of those things. But, I thought of one that I just can't imagine how you could possibly get a guard for, and that's the wood chipper. There was another murder just recently where they hurled some. If you've got a, you can't really use a flash detecting technology for a wood chipper, I don't think.
Well, there are other all sorts of devices in the house. For example, a food processor.
Food processor.
You cannot chop off your finger because the minute you open it up, the it stops moving. Couldn't something be done along those lines?
Yeah, but the problem is you have to push the board through the saw. And as long as you have to do that, you have to have access to it. With all of the other things like pug mills or like other types of equipment, you can have a lid on it that you close, and then it will. That's the only time you can engage the motor. But you can't do that with the saw.
We have very little time, but I wanted to sneak Ray in here. Hi, Ray.
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay, make it very quick.
Okay, just a couple of things. I would love to have a saw stop. I'm a woodworker, and but the cost of replacing what I have now is just inhibitive.
Ray, we have very little time.
Okay, also, but the case of the Ryobi, the guy ignored all of the other safety precautions, including how to use the saw, which also led to that. And also, the saw stop doesn't always, you have to disengage it if you're sawing any wet lumber.
Okay. Well, is that all true?
Well, right.
Very quickly.
The young man who was injured didn't speak English well enough and was not trained, and of course he ignored everything. He wasn't taught.
Manona Russell is president of Arts, Crafts, and Theater Safety Incorporated, and Steve Gass is the inventor of the Saw Stop, and I thank both of you so much for being on our show to talk about trying to be a little safer anyway.
Yes, it was a pleasure.
And I'm taking my seatbelt out of my car.